Bobby's sister has been visiting us for these last 2 weeks from San Diego, and she's flying back today. And the thing was is that she was sharing with us about her youngest son, Nick, who earlier this year basically spent 30 days in the hospital because his kidneys shut down, he found to be diabetic, and some different physical problems, and basically he almost died. And she sort of shared with us how he was sort of doing now. And the thing is that I remember the last time I really saw Nick was probably back in 2003 when Bobby's mom and dad celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. And Nick, was a product of a Catholic grade school and high school. But I remember when he came at that time, he had found religion. That he was in that phase of his life where he was basically quoting scripture, and he was everything that during that week that he was here. A lot of times, we got into some very good discussions, I shall say, on religion and the scriptures and teachings and the Catholic faith and everything. After that time, Nick went on and he basically became a chef and had worked in some various restaurants in San Diego. But he wasn't happy with that, so he went back to school, got his degree in chemistry, and just recently was able to find a very good job. I mean, to hear my sister-in-law explain, this company was, during his sickness, was very supportive, was very helpful. They'd given him, some real benefits. He's working on some drugs for cancer, for Alzheimer's, and for macular degeneration, and has been doing very well. And yet, when we got to talking, we found out that since Nick has got into being a chemist, that he sort of has lost his faith. He says, he really doesn't believe anymore because he's a scientist. And scientists believe in fact. And as I see that, I sort of look at his life, and I see that really Nick is, to me, is sort of an unhappy person. That he sort of, because of this, he sort of acted out in his smoking and drinking. I don't ever think he did drugs. I don't know, but I'm also in his eating. And since his brush with death, he has given up the smoking and the drinking, but he's still not eating the way he really should be. And because of that, my sister-in-law is very fearful that, someday he's going to end up back in the hospital or end up dead because he just doesn't take care of himself. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about what Father Randy had shared with us a couple weeks ago when he said, that as you look at the real key to happiness and to success is basically a spirituality. It's having a faith. And I thought about, that is so true. And it's just not only faith in God, but it's surprising when we have a spirituality, when we have a faith in God, how also that can lead to many other ways in our life to have faith and trust, which can lead to happiness and joy. I think sometimes the key to a happy and a successful marriage is where, the husband and the wife sort of have faith and trust in each other. That they have faith that the other person loves them. Despite all the times you know, that you get yelled out because you don't do the right thing, or because you have your arguments, or because you mess up, you know, because, you know, because and because, but yet, you know, that sometimes if you have that faith that despite all these, besides all my weaknesses and all my faults, you know, I love you and you love me, that somehow, you know, that you get through that. And usually, you know, you have a pretty happy marriage most of the time. You get through the difficult times, you enjoy the good times, and life is good. You look at families. You know, Justin Bieber just received an award at the Teen Music Awards or whatever, I'm not quite sure. But he made a tweet. And in that tweet or something, he said something about, I don't know, the comment or tweet, something about, you know, support your parents because they love you despite the fact that it may not always seem that way. And I think, you know, that that's very important for a good family life, is for children to always believe that their parents love them. To have faith in that. You know, despite sometimes the rules and the regulations and not always getting their own way, that if you know, if you really believe that your parents care for you and love you, it's that you're going to have a good childhood. You're going to have a good family. And parents, you know, that you know, when, even when you're going through some of the difficult times with your children, you know, we're going through the, some of the times when they're going through their rebellious stage or going through their independent stage, that if you know, if you feel, you know, that you've instilled with them a faith, a love on God, and that they love you, that it gives you a strength sort of to deal with it and to handle it and to get through it until your children learn up and realize how smart you are. And the thing is also, you know, sometimes even in your work, you know, our son works at J.J. Smucker's. And this year, you know, a couple, you know, we went to Cedar Point for J.J. Smucker's Day with our grandkids. And we also had an opportunity to visit him at where he worked at. And, you know, and to saw all the benefits that they provided for him. You know, the nice dining area, the gym, the equipment, basically what they offered him, that it really shows that they care for, that they have faith in their workers. And because of that, that I can see in Kevin that he has a lot of trust in his business, in his job, that they really care for him as a person, as an individual. And because of that, he's very happy with his job, and he really wants to do a good job. And I think, you know, boy, you know, isn't that a key to success and happiness? You know, when you have a job that you really feel that and love and can get into that. You know, I think that was sort of sometimes, you know, the thing with Abraham, you know, was just that he had a trust and a faith, you know, in God. So that when God told him, you know, that through the messenger, that you're going to have a child, even though he and Sarah were beyond really, you know, the age, that, you know, he believed that. And can you think of, you know, the frustration he and Sarah must have had all these years praying for, wanting a child, and never be able to have one. And yet, you know, he still continued to trust, to believe, and to live his life, saying, well, you know, I guess it wasn't God's will for us to have a child, and we'll just go on and do the best we can. And then God tells him, you know, go out into the land. So, okay, well, you know, I'm not quite sure where I'm going, but I trust, so I go. Give up your son Isaac, even though God's told you you're going to be a descendant. Well, you know, how this is going to happen, I don't know, but I'm willing to sit there and to offer him because I have faith and trust in God. You know, I think you know that, you know, when we have that faith and trust in God, it helps us to have faith and trust in other people and in our life. It makes us, you know, generally a very happy life. But the thing is that there is a sort of a negative side to this too. And that's sometimes when we get into the point where we have sort of a, what we call a blind faith. When my father died when I was 14, that it was the faith of my mother that God was still with us, that we would get through, that helped me to get through it and to deal with it, and to bring me to this point where I am here today. And, you know, I know after my father died that some people from church got her involved in what they called the Blue Army, so she began to pray. She became very involved in the parish. You know, she became the head of the Rosary Order Society and all some different organizations, and to do that. And then there was this Christian television station that came on in Lima. And somehow, through a prayer group meeting, she became involved with this. And the thing was, is that from my take, this group was a little bit too fundamentalistic for me. You know, and I sometimes wondered how, you know, the Catholic faith and, you know, this TV station, sort of how it worked, but it worked for her. But it got to the point where her faith became almost blind. And what happened was, is when I told her that I was leaving the priesthood or thinking about it, you know, she prayed, you know, because I had taken a leave of absence before that. And of course, she prayed very strongly and very deeply, you know, that I would, you know, stay a priest, that I wouldn't love, leave. I know she loved and cared for Bobby. She loved and adored Katie, our daughter, and Kevin, our son. But yet, you know, somehow, that when I chose to leave and marry, it was very difficult because God had let her down. And she went through a nervous breakdown. I mean, it was somehow God had not lived up to his part of her bargain. And so she went, you know, we took her down and she went through some counseling and turned herself around. But she still sort of had it. You know, she was one of these people that, you know, was gullible to any scheme. You know, you've won the lottery. All right, look at all the things because God is going to bless me. Because I've been praying and God's going to do this. And so everything that came down the line, you know, she donated. She gave. Because God was always going to sit there and give her, you know, this big windfall so that she could share it with her children. Well, the thing was is that she owned a house. She had a nice retirement income. She really didn't want for anything. And yet, you know, that, you know, God had let her down. And I remember that because of that, she had gallbladder problems. And she had put it off for such a long time that, you know, she went to see the doctor. And the doctor told her, well, you know, if it's, you know, if we can, we're going to do this laparoscopically, and you'll be in and out in a day. If not, you know, we may have to go in and do normal surgery because you put it off for so long that, you know, you may have to be in the hospital a couple of days. Well, she was so confident that, you know, she was going to have this laparoscopically done and be out in a day, that when she found out that they had the surgery and she was going to be in another 3 or 4 days, it really threw her back. It really set her apart. And the thing was is that, you know, this blind faith really became detrimental to her. You know, I think, you know, that when we talk about faith, you know, faith in God and faith in other people, it's sort of something that, you know, it's just not blind faith. But it's something where, you know, we give ourselves, but we give ourselves mind and spirit. And so sometimes we have to think it through. And I think when we do that, you know, we can find happiness and joy. In today's elections, okay, then in the primaries, we have found a lot of people who are very unhappy with the establishment or with the government or with our country as it is right now. You know, they sit there and, you know, that they're mad at the president, they're mad at, you know, Congress, they're mad at the Supreme Court, they're mad at, you know, the gridlock in Washington, and sometimes they're playing upon that. And, you know, and I myself, I'm not always happy with what the president says, or, you know, some of the decisions of the Supreme Court, or what has been happening, in the Congress, some of the gridlock. But yet, you know, to me, this is still the greatest country in the world. And I am so happy to be an American, and I'm so blessed. It's a great place to raise my kids, you know, to sit there and to live and to work. And despite, you know, all the problems we have, I still wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And right now, our presidential leaders, our presidential candidates, are sort of asking us to have faith in them. To have faith that they are going to, you know, lead our country in a way that we can have a good life, to be blessed, and to be happy and be prosperous. And the thing is that sometimes, you know, they sort of ask for a blind faith. They say, believe me, have faith in me. This is what I am going to do for you. And I think, you know, that as we approach this election, it's sort of time to sit there and to, you know, think about, you know, who we're going to put our faith in. And what are we going to believe? And to think about it, to pray over it, and work on it. And as good citizens, to make that decision that we see in our heart, whether we feel it's going to be best for ourselves and our country. God comes to us in many ways. He comes to us in struggles. He comes to us in our blessings. Our readings talk about, you know, God coming to us. And are we going to be ready? And I think, you know, it's not just the end of the day. It's not the end of time. But it's, you know, sometimes each and every week, each and every day, that God comes to us. And sometimes our trust and our faith in God and in each other help us to make that decision. Are we a sign? You know, can people have faith in us as spouses, as parents, as children, as neighbors? And can we inspire a faith in those that we touch? And can we have faith in them? Let's take a time and look at our faith, how it touches our lives, and pray God that we may always be ready to meet Him and to share His blessings. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.